Good morning and Merry Christmas to all of you. It's so good to see each and every single one of you this morning. It is good to gather on the Lord's Day with God's people. And it's kind of especially wonderful to gather right before Christmas with God's people as we turn our attention to the incarnate Christ who comes to live for us, to die in our place, to be raised from the dead, and who is right now the ascended Lord over all. It is good to gather with God's people, and I'm glad to be able to do it with you. Before I turn it over to David to do our announcements, I do want to have a special moment to recognize Trevor and Carson and Louie and Letty. So if you will do me a favor, sweet peas, will you just stand up for me? It is, it's good to have babies with us. It's good to celebrate new life. And in my home, what we often do when good things happen is we will just kind of bust out and sing the doxology together. So this is a little bit new for us, but in honor of the babies being born, Aaron's going to lead us. And so will you sing the doxology to celebrate what God has done in bringing these sweet babies into the world? Go ahead, Aaron.
Make sure I'm ready. I don't know how you're supposed to do announcements following the those announcements. Amen. Okay. And but anyway, it is so good to be with you all this morning. I want to take just a short moment and add to these announcements. Many of you have reached out to me. You've seen me post something about losing a grade school, before grade school, childhood friend this last week by the name of David Wallace. Many of you probably still remember David. And many of you have reached out and told me how you're praying for the family and praying for me as well. And I just wanted to say thank you all for that. And those prayers are very much appreciated. While we're thanking people, we wanted to make mention today that we wanted to thank everyone who supported last week's children's ministry and the program that they shared, and also everyone that came for the fellowship and brought cookies and hung out afterwards. I wasn't able to be here, but I understand that it was a great presentation. And for Brother Kenny and Miss Lori and everybody, and I shouldn't mention names, but for everybody that worked so hard to pull that off, and especially you parents and grandparents who made sure your little ones was here. So we very much appreciate that. We do want to remind you that the church has made a personal goal of $1,000 for this year's mission offering, the annual Lottie Moon offering, and we've got two Sundays still that you can give for that. So we want to encourage you in that. You can if you're used to doing online donations through our app, there's a place on there where you can do that, or you can use the designated envelopes found at the welcome desk. And just put it in the offering plate, okay? So just wanted to remind you of that. Also, after the first of the year, starting, I believe it's Thursday, January 16th, there's going to be a new Waldo's Precept class. This is for our ladies. And let me just encourage you, if you have never given that a chance, I think it's something that you will really, really enjoy. I don't know any ladies that have ever joined up with the Waldo Precept class that didn't really like that, okay? Information is on the app, church app, and in the bulletin. So we want you to remember that. That's usually scheduled, starts on the 16th, and that usually goes every other Thursday evening. Okay? Then we want you to remember a special day coming up really quick, January 3rd. Our young people are going to be having a skating outing at Kingsway Skateland on Friday, January 3rd at 5:15. And so if you've got any questions about that, that's in Paducah. You can see Brother Kenny Forthman. Is Brother Kenny in here? Somewhere? No, in church. Okay. But anyway, I was going to have him stand up. But anyway, if you've got a question, you see me after church, and we need to find Brother Kenny. We can do that. And then lastly, we want to make sure that you know that there are no scheduled services or activities this Sunday evening, tonight, or this Wednesday. Okay, so no meal ministry, no kids ministries, no anything this Wednesday. And we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, right? Because we can celebrate and worship the God Emmanuel with us. And so I'm going to turn this now over to, I think, Brother Aaron.
But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Christmas story is so much more than a baby in the manger. It's who that baby in the manger would grow up to be, what he would do, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. And that is why we can sing this morning. So I want to encourage you all to stand, and let's lift up our voices together. He shall reign forevermore. Let's worship in spirit and in truth this morning. In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and He shall.
Forevermore, forevermore.
joy to the world on a night like no other, Emmanuel. God is with us, beggars and kings. Let us come and adore Him, rest in His peace, and bow before Him. Sing, all you people, the Lord Almighty reigns. Sing, every creature of God, come bless His name. For He is good, for He is good. He was born to conquer the grave. Light of the world, the reason for Christmas. Over deserts and oceans, the darkness was deep, but never hopeless. Redemption came, and His name is Jesus. Sing, all you people, the Lord Almighty reigns. Sing, every creature of God, His name. For He is good, for He is good. He was born to conquer the grave. Light of the world, Jesus on Christmas Day. From the mountains we will shout it out. Sing, all you people, the Lord Almighty reigns. Sing, every creature of God, come bless His name. For He is good, for He is good. He was born to conquer the grave. Christmas Day.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said.
Ushers come forward to take up our offering. We're going to observe the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. We've been looking at the themes of hope and peace and joy, and now we turn to the theme of love. The most famous verse in all the New Testament says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, beloved, the holidays can be a weird time. It's filled with joy and celebration and gladness and giving and family. It could also be a hard time, also be a difficult season filled with grief and loss and bad memories and all types of sadness and pain. I don't know how you feel this morning. I don't know what type of circumstances your life has presented you with, but here's something I do know, and that is the evidence of God's love for you is not determined by how you feel this morning. The evidence of God's love for you is not determined by the circumstances in which you find yourselves in. It is determined by the giving of God's Son to live in our place, die in our place, be raised from the dead, and to be the ascended Lord of all, through whom we have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God. And so 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, reading down to verse 12, tells us that that is how we know of God's love for us. 1 John 4, beginning in verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Praise be to God. Ushers, will you please come forward to take up our offering? Good morning. Thank you, Lori. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, will you please make your way to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to change directions just for this morning. I've enjoyed walking through Philippians with you, and we'll return to it very soon. But this morning, I want to think about the Christ of Christmas from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And as you turn there, I just want to say briefly that I really appreciate what a faithful and good job Caleb did last minute. Standing in my place. I'm really grateful for that, brother. And I promise, based on how I felt at 3:30 in the morning last Sunday, you did not want me here. So I'm really grateful for him, and just glad to have faithful brothers like Aaron, Caleb, all of our pastors, Jack, who can just kind of step in and be faithful when need be. So I praise God for that. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And we're going to think this morning about the Christ of Christmas. Who is that? Who is the Christ of Christmas? Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18, reading down to verse 25. Let's hear the word of our Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're grateful. We're grateful not only for your great grace in the gospel, that you've saved us through faith in Jesus, but we're grateful for this church, that you've incorporated us into the body of Christ, and we can have a kind of a local expression. We can see it with our eyes, touch it with our hands. We can feel the warm embrace of those who love us and care for us. We belong to you, and we belong to a people. And to that, we say, praise be to God. So, for those who open the word this morning, together I pray that we would attune our hearts to Christ. We would see his glory, that we would just be fascinated, astonished, and we would adore him. As we think about the Christ of Christmas, by your Spirit, you would mold and shape us greater into the image of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for so many of our members who can't be with us this morning because of sickness or health reasons or life circumstances or they're homebound. God, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you would strengthen them in their inner being to know the immeasurable love of Christ Jesus for them. I pray that you would know that we love them and care for them and miss them. And God, we pray that as a church, we would just continue to love you and love one another well. God, I pray that you would be with me. Allow me to speak in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. Present nothing of stumbling or difficulty before these sweet people. Allow me to do nothing but serve them, build them up, and edify them in Christ Jesus. I pray for them that they would respond to the word with the obedience of faith, and that we would all glorify you in all that we do. Father, I pray this not only for myself, but I want to pray specifically for Brian Arnold and FBC Paducah this morning. Pastor Brian lost his father this week right around Christmas. I pray you would be with him, you would sustain him, that you would allow him to minister faithfully even as he grieves the loss of a family member. I pray you'd be with that church, there would just be a faithful gospel presence in Paducah for years to come. God, I pray they would glorify you in all that they do. Father, would you exalt your name? Would you edify your church? Would you evangelize all who are far from you? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 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 There is a recurring theme throughout the Bible, which magnifies God's miraculous work in the world. When things have gone wrong, when there is a need for God's great work among his people, the Lord accomplishes his purposes through the most vulnerable and unsuspecting way. There's always a woman pregnant who gives birth to a son by the miraculous hand of God. How frequent is this theme? Well, quite frequent. Let me give you a couple of examples. Sarah was old and barren when God promised to give her and Abraham a son. Genesis 21, 1 through 2. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. During the time of the judges, when things were very bad for Israel, the angel of the Lord appeared to a woman, barren, and promised she would bear a child. Judges 13, verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And the woman bore a son and called him Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. And we can't forget about Hannah. Hannah had no children because the Lord had closed her womb. Hannah knew God loved her, so she lamented, wept, and prayed for a son. 1 Samuel 1:19 through 20. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked him from the Lord. I love the way theologian Ben Myers kind of sums this up. It says, this is how it goes in the Old Testament. At the great turning point in history, we find a woman pregnant and an infant child brought into the world by the powerful promise of God. Israel's story is a story of miraculous births. So when we open up the Gospel of Luke, our hearts should beat with excitement when we read about Elizabeth. Elizabeth had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. So read the Bible, you see John the Baptist's mother Elizabeth, she was barren, advanced in years, and your heart should go, wait a minute, something's about to happen. God's about to be on the move. And of course, the birth of John the Baptist was indeed an important turning point in redemptive history. John the Baptist would prepare the way for the Lord. So let me ask you this. What greater turning point in history could there be than the birth of the Messiah? What greater turning point could there be than God incarnate, born of human flesh, to fulfill all of God's promises and to save their people from their sins? And so how fitting it is that his birth is the most miraculous of them all. God incarnate, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The ways of God are the ways of miraculous births. So this morning, we're going to reflect on the Christ of Christmas from the Gospel of Matthew. And I want us to think about what it means for Jesus to be born of a virgin, why he needs to be the son of David. I want us to think about how Christmas leads to the cross, as the one born of a virgin is named Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. I want us to think about Jesus Christ being the promised Messiah. In fulfillment of the scriptures, Emmanuel, God with us. And as we do so, we'll see that the birth of Christ truly is the great turning point in human history. We'll see that the Christ of Christmas is a son of David, born of a virgin. Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And Emmanuel, fulfilling the scriptures. So look with me, friends, the beginning of verse 18. And we will see that the Christ of Christmas is the son of David, born of a virgin. Now, to fully appreciate all that Matthew is doing in these verses, we have to kind of understand that there's an Old Testament hope, an Old Testament anticipation that God would provide a Messiah who would be a descendant of King David. And that promise is given in 2 Samuel chapter 7. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up from your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, I want you to notice two things about this promise. It is the promise of a coming king, and this king's kingdom will be established forever. And throughout the Old Testament, this theme is developed all the more with building anticipation all throughout the prophets. So Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And one of my personal favorites, Ezekiel 34, 23-24. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. So just bear with me. There is a long anticipation, a long hope that one day God would send someone who is a descendant of David, who will be a king, who will be a king on a throne forever, and that king will be like a shepherd who feeds us, sustains us, cares for us, and guides us. And when we see that king, God will be our God, and we will be his people. Why is this important? Matthew wants to show us that the baby born to Mary and Joseph is born as an Israelite in the line of David. He is the long-awaited Davidic king. Now listen, trying to capture in one sermon all the connections that Matthew makes between Jesus and David, it's kind of like splashing at the waves, hoping somehow I'm going to feel the depths of the ocean. Okay, there's a lot there. So just as I walk through this, just know that it's not sufficient, but it'll do for this morning. I want you to point out a couple of things here to show that Matthew is really wanting us to get the picture. Hey, Jesus is the long-awaited son of David. And to do this, I want you to look with me at verse 1 of chapter 1 of Matthew. So you're already in chapter 1. Just look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 of Matthew 1 says this: "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, why am I pointing that out to you? For those of you who have read the Bible, you know it. Who comes first in human history, David or Abraham? Abraham does. So why does Matthew say the beginning of the genealogy of Christ, son of David? It's like he is just blinking a huge sign. Hey, this is really important. I'm trying to show you something. Jesus Christ is a descendant of David. It's like he's drawing it in crayon. Look at verse 20 of chapter 1. Verse 20 of chapter 1, we just read it a few moments ago. He does something similar. Notice how the angel of the Lord refers to Joseph. Joseph, son of David. Son of David. So now let's return to Matthew 1, 18 through 20. What Matthew is going to show us is how Jesus can be born of a virgin and remain a son of David. He is the long-awaited king to whom we have always hoped for. Let's look at verses 18 through 19 one more time. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, as you can imagine, Mary's pregnancy comes as quite a shock to Joseph, who would have no reason to assume that the most likely explanation for her pregnancy is conception by the Holy Spirit. So to properly understand what happens next, we kind of have to know a little bit about the ancient world and how this kind of betrothal period is different from how we understand engagement, right? So when I get engaged to Kelsey, we're not legally married. It's kind of like a before thing. And if it were to break off, right, there would be no legal things to do. In the ancient world, it's not like that at all. So when they're betrothed, they are in a legal relationship. The marriage just isn't consummated, and there is no ceremony to make it final and official. And so in the ancient world, this relationship could not be broken, could not be separated, unless someone dies or there is some legal separation under special circumstances, like sexual infidelity or adultery. And based on Joseph's limited information at the time, he could only assume that Mary had been unfaithful. And therefore, he was obligated to separate from her according to the law and go about his life. That's why the Bible refers to him as a just man. He wants to do what is right according to the law. But he wants to do it in a way that is merciful to her. He doesn't wish in any way to go through some huge public trial that would put her to shame. So he seeks to separate her quietly. Now, this raises several problems for Mary and also the story of Jesus. Why is that? If Joseph divorces Mary quietly and he never looks back, Jesus cannot be a descendant of David. That's why the Gospel of Matthew stresses this is Joseph, son of David. Paul can't speak like he does in Romans 1. The Gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. So what Matthew is doing is showing us how Jesus can be born of a virgin and remain a son of David, because Joseph is going to play an important part in this story. Now notice what the Lord does. The Lord intervenes in Joseph's life to assure him that Mary has not been unfaithful, and the child that is in her is from the Holy Spirit. Look with me at verse 20. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now we need to know something really important. As the angel of the Lord gives this information to Joseph, he's not merely to receive it and sleep quietly at night. He's supposed to do something. This is important. He's supposed to stay married to Mary, and then he's supposed to name this child. You shall call his name Jesus. We'll get to that here in a moment. Joseph learns that the miracle that has taken place is the virgin conception by the Holy Spirit. And what Matthew makes clear is that Mary is kind of a passive vessel in this entire miracle. That which was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the source of the conception, not an active agent in it. Mary is a passive vessel in the conception of Jesus, not a participation in it. This is indeed miraculous. Luke 1:35 says it this way. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, friends, this is a mystery, and we should allow it to be. There is a temptation, I think, in the Christian life to remove it from all mystery, and that's a mistake. God's ways are not our ways. They are beyond us, and so we're to receive the virgin birth conceived by the Spirit as the good news of Christ for us, to which we are to be astonished, have adoration for, and be amazed by. The Holy Spirit's conception of Jesus in the Virgin Mary is a mystery. A mystery to which we are to respond in faith and worship to the God who has saved us. But as we think about the virgin birth, I still think that we can pause and think, this is the most fitting way for God to do this. What do I mean by that? What is the most fitting way for Jesus to be brought into the world? Well, I've given you one already. All throughout redemptive history, God has this way of bringing about his redemptive plan by working through women and the birth of children in miraculous and glorious ways. This is just the way God works. And so it's fitting for Jesus to be born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. But it's also fitting for some other ways. It's fitting based on who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God incarnate. He is one person with two natures, fully God, fully human. And so the miraculous nature of Jesus' conception fits the miraculous nature of the incarnation. This is phenomenal, amazing, above our heads. The virgin birth is also fitting because it shows the uniqueness of the Son's relationship to God the Father. As you read the New Testament, think about how often the point seems to be that Jesus is from the Father. And the Gospel of John, to see Jesus is to see the Father. And so as we think about Jesus being a son, the first thing that's supposed to come to our mind is he is the Son from God the Father. So the virgin birth places this relationship, the Son and the Father, over his relationship to Joseph. But it's also fitting for a really simple reason. God promised a long time ago, this is what would happen, and so it's fitting to fulfill what God has said he would do. Think about Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God ordained the virgin birth and promised it through the prophets, and so it is the most fitting way for Jesus to be born. Beloved, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a mystery, and we should allow it to be so. Jesus is the son of David, born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. This should not be a source of embarrassment. It should be a source of joy and worship. So I love what Al Mohler says in his little book on the Apostles' Creed. This is what he says. Don't be embarrassed by the virgin birth. Rather, teach it, preach it, and share it as part of the gospel story, so that when a person responds in faith, they shall know whom they believe. Pray to see the miracle of Christ conceived in their hearts the way he was conceived in Mary's womb. I really love that. Pray to see the miracle of Christ conceived in their hearts the way he is conceived in Mary's womb. Now let's get back to Joseph. The angel of the Lord gives this information to Joseph so that he might do something. And what is it that Joseph is to do? Look with me again at verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. This is significant for two reasons. The first is, this naming is a legal adoption. It's just not Joseph saying, hey, I've been kind of walking around, and I think Jesus would be great because Jesus means Yahweh saves. There would have been tons of little Jesuses running around. This is a great name. Let's name him Jesus. When Joseph says his name will be Jesus, Joseph is saying, this is my legal heir. He is my son. No asterisk. He is my son. This is Jesus. You know, several years ago, we had the privilege of receiving our adoption decree when we adopted Isaac. Came in the mail, and there's a wonderful little line in there that says, he shall be here on out adopted for life. And Isaac is a legal heir fully and completely. There is no asterisk by his name. He is my son. And so Joseph says, he shall be called Jesus. And Matthew is showing us that this is how Jesus becomes a legal son of David. Joseph becomes his father through adoption by naming him. He is the son of David, the son of Abraham, the long-awaited Messiah and King. The Christ of Christmas is the son of David, born of a virgin. But it's significant for another reason, and that is the meaning of the word Jesus, which is really good. The meaning Jesus is Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. In Jesus is literally that. He is the God of salvation. In his very person, in all that he does, he will save his people from their sins. He will save not only Israelites who believe in his name, but every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, every single person that looks upon Jesus Christ can have their sins forgiven, be reconciled to God, and inherit eternal life forever with the Lord. So Matthew's kind of echoing some language from the Old Testament. Think about Ezekiel 37, verse 23. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will save them from all their backslidings in which they have sinned. I will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This is what Jesus comes to do. He comes to live and to die so that people like you and me, when we believe in him, we can be cleansed, forgiven, and restored to God, and we can receive God as our God. So later in Matthew, we're going to learn the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Friends, as we celebrate Christmas, as we think about the baby in the manger, the cradle is meant to direct our attention to the cross. The cradle and the cross are connected, and no Christian celebration of Christmas dares to ever separate them. The baby born in the manger is the Son of God incarnate who dies in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. So friends, if you're here this morning, I've got good news for you. The good news of the gospel is that your bad circumstances, all of your worst days, your worst thoughts, your worst words, your worst actions, everything that is in you that is opposed to God can not only be forgiven, you can be cleansed and made new. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He is Jesus, the one who will save his people from their sins. The Christ of Christmas is Jesus, the Savior of sinners. So Christmas is a wonderful time, by the way. It's a wonderful time to reflect on where you are, to think about all the temptations that kind of ail you from week to week, day to day, and to remember that Christ came to free you, deliver you, cleanse you, and make you new. If you're in Christ Jesus, you don't have to live that way anymore. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's overnight. But in the power of the blood of Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit, you can slowly but surely be made new day by day. Who is the Christ of Christmas? He is the Son of David, born of a virgin. He is Jesus, Yahweh saves, the one who saves us from our sins. And he is Emmanuel, fulfilling the scriptures. Look with me at verses 22 through 25. Now, there's a typical thing that Matthew does, especially in the first four chapters. He says, hey, this happened, and this happened to fulfill the scriptures. He does it over and over and over. This happened, it happened to fulfill the scriptures. And that's what happens there in Matthew 1, 22 through 25. He says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And when he does this, he quotes Isaiah 7, verse 14, which kind of echoes a larger portion of Isaiah. So when the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, it kind of works like a hyperlink on a computer. You know what a hyperlink is? It's like you're reading a web page, and there's a section that's blue. You kind of click on that thing, and it opens up a brand new page. And now what you're doing is you're reading the pages in light of each other. This connecting it all, you know what I'm talking about, a hyperlink? So as you're reading the New Testament, Britt's saying no. Britt's like, I don't know what a hyperlink is. I'm sorry, Britt. So anyway, when you're reading on the computer, some words will be kind of blue, and you click on it, and it opens up a new page. Well, all the quotations are kind of like that. It brings up a whole new way of seeing what is being written. And so we read Matthew 1 in light of Isaiah 7 through 9. Passages like Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what Matthew is showing us is that the birth of Jesus Christ fulfills finally and ultimately all the promises that God made about that child, who is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a Prince of Peace, one who is Emmanuel, God with us. Here's why this is good news. The presence of Jesus is the very presence of God. So Jesus is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And all throughout the Gospel of Matthew, the presence of God in Jesus is really important. In fact, there are three big times that Matthew tells us, hey, Jesus is with us and he will be with us forever. We've already seen the first one. Emmanuel, God is with us. Think about Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them, the presence of God in Jesus. And then one of my personal favorites, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after the Great Commission, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Beloved, if you're tempted to doubt God's presence among you, if you're tempted to doubt God's goodness and closeness to you, remember what God has done in Christ, and remember all the tangible ways that he has given us to know that he is near to us. You know, I do this kind of weekly thing after I read the passage of Scripture to kind of slowly and subtly remind you that God is here and He is with us. I read the passage and I say, this is the word of the Lord. Why do I do that? To say that when we gather on the Lord's Day and the word is read, it is the living God speaking to us through the living word. He is here. He is not dead and He is not absent. So here in a moment, I'm going to invite you to share in communion. And I'm going to extend the body of Christ broken for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. And through faith, that is, by the Holy Spirit, a reminder of the presence of Jesus Christ who is with us and He will never forsake us. So allow me to say this. I can't think of anything more comforting in the presence of God. And what Christmas reminds us of is that God is anything but distant from us. If you're in Christ Jesus, He is anything but far from you. As we close, as we kind of begin to partake of the supper, I just want to leave you with four brief thoughts, really quickly. Number one, in light of Matthew 1, I want you to rejoice in Jesus' humanity. Matthew tells us that Jesus was a son of David, born of a woman. He cried like us, wept like us, hungered like us, suffered like us. And this is great comfort because the one who saves us and the one who intercedes for us knows what it's like to be us. And should lead us to worship. Number two, trust Jesus as Savior. So the best way to respond to a sermon on Matthew 1, 18 through 25 is to place your faith in Christ for the forgiveness and freedom from sin. Trust in Christ by professing your faith in Him. Number three, believe in God's promises. Believe in God's promises. All that we read about this morning in Matthew 1 is a really good reminder that God always does what He says He will do. He will never let you down. There is no promise of God that is broken. There is no promise of God that is not fulfilled. And just as Christ came in the incarnation, He will come again. He will judge the living and the dead. He will wipe away every tear from our eye. Sin and death will be no more, and we will dwell with Him forever. Number four, I want you to rest in Christ's presence. So I need you to believe this. Christ is with you. Christ is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So this Christmas, I want you to hear me. Your circumstances do not determine the presence of God in Christ Jesus for you. How you feel does not determine the presence of God in Christ for you. Who He is, Emmanuel, God with us, determines His presence with you. Rejoice in His humanity. Trust Christ as Savior. Believe in God's promises and rest in Christ. Presence. I'm going to pray, and then Aaron's going to come lead us in our invitation, and then we'll partake of the supper together. Let's pray. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, and we praise You for Your glorious grace. We thank You for the story of Christ's birth, the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, who is Emmanuel, God with us. The reason our sins can be forgiven, the reason we can be made new and whole is because of what You have done in Christ Jesus. And we praise You for that. It is a glorious and wonderful mystery. The eternal Son of God, born in human flesh, who lives in our place, dies in our place, and is raised from the dead. God, I pray that we'd fix our eyes on You. As we partake of the supper here in a moment, You would transform us by Your grace more into Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Noel. Come to a more than fitting way to conclude a worship service, especially on the incarnate Jesus Christ, and that is to partake of communion together. I just want to make a brief note before the deacons come forward. When we take communion as a church family, it's a time of kind of covenant renewal for those who've been baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You do not have to be a member at Waldo to partake here. We're so glad that you're here, but you need to be a member of a baptized believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we rejoice in doing this together. If our deacons could come forward, we'll partake of the supper together. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we'll pass out the elements. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jordan, will you bless the bread, please?
Father, we just thank you for this time of year, Lord. We just we stand in amazement, Lord, that the God that spoke the world into creation humble himself, Lord, just to be born of a virgin for one purpose and one purpose only, Lord, just to be the atonement of sin for the world. Lord, your body was broken, Lord. You were spit on. You were beaten. You were ridiculed. You were mocked, Lord. All for us, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Brother Kevin, you bless the...
Father, we're so thankful for this day that you give us, for the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, for the blood that you shed. Lord, this time of year, what greater gift could we give than the knowledge of your Son, that someone might come to know him. So, Lord, I just pray that you continue, that your Spirit would guide us and direct our thoughts, Lord, that we never forget.
As he took the cup of the new covenant and lifted it, said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Aaron is going to lead us in the doxology, and then we're going to dismiss. You can feel free to kind of sing as you're kind of going out. Have a wonderful and merry Christmas. God bless you all.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and